You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at stdave.org and click on the podcast button.
We enter into today's gospel story from Luke, where some folks who have come to know Jesus bring him the headlines of the day. They've got two events they want him to know about and get his take on. We don't have archives of newspapers from first century ancient Near East, and so I cannot give you any more details than what Luke tells us. I promise you every scholar who's turned their pen toward the book of Luke wants to fill in more details about these two stories. But we get only the headlines today. But maybe that's okay. Maybe that's enough. We know enough stories about the consequences of unjust leadership. We can tell plenty of stories of folks who were in the wrong place at the wrong time and suffered senselessly because of it. Maybe we don't need to know exactly what happened to those Galileans or exactly what happened when that tower fell, to know what those early followers of Jesus were trying to ask. We understand the questions these kinds of events bring to mind. So they come to Jesus and they want to know about this. And other teachers had told them that this is just the consequences of it. If you're good and you're right and you stay on the right path, things like this won't happen. And if you're wrong and you're sinful, then this is what happens. But Jesus takes away that instinct to victim blame. Were these Galileans worse than all the other Galileans? No. Were those crushed by the tower worse than the others living in Jerusalem on that day? By no means. It's not entirely comforting because the next thing he says is, but if you don't repent, you will also suffer as they did. You will perish like they did. But we can't blame these Galileans or those 18 crushed by the tower for what happens to them. They, like us, like those early hearers, stand in need of repentance, which is why we've come to church this season of Lent. To enter into that repentance, to join with them and with Christians and others throughout the ages who have turned again and again to set themselves on the right path. Jesus says, unless you repent, you will perish. The truth is, even if you repent, you will perish. I've only been your associate rector for a couple of weeks, but I am sorry to tell you, I've already learned that you are mortal and that you will share that fate, as we all will. Who is this Jesus then who says to us, you can't blame them, and you too need to repent, and you will share that fate as well? This is a Jesus who knew our mortality. A Jesus who knew how short life could be, how full of senseless suffering it can be, and who loved us anyway, and entered into that mortality and that suffering to be nearer to us, to bring that love close to each of us. I often turn to C.S. Lewis when I find the scriptures puzzling, and he was great help to me this week. Lewis reminded me that our mortality is, in fact, a gift. Lewis teaches that every day we have the opportunity to make choices, and those choices turn us, make us, form us into heavenly creatures, if those are the choices that bring us into alignment with God's will in our lives. Or they can turn us into hellish creatures, unfit for unity with Christ, if we choose to turn our back on God. And we get those opportunities again and again. And we set ourselves on a trajectory by choosing that heavenly way, by making ourselves into heavenly creatures fit for the kingdom of God. And we do that during this mortal life. If time were unlimited, our choices would have no consequence. If we weren't mortal, it wouldn't matter what choice you made today because you'd have an endless string of tomorrows to make the different choice. But we don't have an endless string of tomorrows, at least not in this life. And so we must make choices that put us on that heavenly path, that form us into heavenly beings, so that Christ can finish that work in us when we enter into the next life. Even worse, if we had an endless string of tomorrows, if we didn't have mortality as our friend, we might not make any choice at all. We might sit exactly where we are, fearful of making a wrong step, and with all the time ahead of us to consider, we might choose nothing. I'm sure you can think of that. I'm sure we've all experienced moments where we've been paralyzed by choices in front of us and only moved forward, hopefully, into the right thing because time was limited and a choice was required. So Lewis tells us mortality is, in fact, a gift. It lets us bend ourselves towards Christ and Christ's will in our lives. And it is a gift because our Jesus shared it with us. So who is this Jesus? The same Jesus whose voice echoed in that burning bush was there with God the Father and the Spirit in the bush appearing before Moses. Jesus is that same I am who saw the suffering of God's people, who knew their misery and would not leave them alone in it. And that same I am came to live with us, to share our suffering and mortality, to help us see how to choose the heavenly way. That same I am makes the ground holy even in the midst of suffering and mortality. Who is this Jesus? Well, thankfully, he doesn't leave it with, "If you don't repent, you will perish as they did." He returns to tell a little parable of this fig tree, a fruitless tree growing there for 3 years, so long that the gardener has lost patience, or the owner has lost patience, is ready to cut it down. This fig tree is no good for figs, it's good for firewood. Let's take it down. And the gardener speaks up out of compassion and says, "Let it one more year." Not just give it one more year, in fact, let me give it extra time, extra attention, extra resources, and let's see if we might have fruit after all. The gardener sees that the fruitless tree is the one that needs his care, his love. And as far as I can tell, the fig tree has no choice in making fruit or not. It's not the tree's fault that it's been without fruit for 3 years, I think. But we do get to choose day after day, hour after hour, sometimes moment after moment, to repent and set ourselves back on the heavenly way, to form ourselves again to be creatures worthy of Christ's love, worthy of unity with him. And if the gardener can have that compassion for a fruitless tree, that, as far as I can tell, didn't make a choice, how much more compassion will our God have for us when we choose to set our feet back on the right path? Over and over and over again, however many times we're called to repentance, that compassion is even longer than those opportunities, and it is always waiting for us. Amen.
This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.